Now, I had to miss the last hour of the show yesterday. Had to leave a little early, but apparently I missed something involving the Big Lebowski.
I don't know if you're aware they're doing this. I think I told you. They got me again with one of those Big Lebowski references. They do that.
You know, as I was driving to the doctor, I actually was listening to the program.
Unprecedented.
I know. I think I just forgot to hit the change button when I got in.
Right.
And I heard
That's not Thin Lizzy.
You heard that. You believe that?
I heard that happen, and I was like, yeah, they got him again with it.
It's over the line. They do that all the time. I've not seen the movie The Big Lebowski, even though I have stated numerous times I would.
4 years? 5 years running?
I really should see it. I've really got to see it. But too many things get in the way. My dearest friend in here keeps recommending great shows to me, and I keep watching those shows. But anyway, we were talking about something, and Chris Dim said, I don't know, tie the rug, ties the room together or something like that.
Not even close.
Well, I don't know it. Mm-hmm. I don't know it. But
you don't even know it when it's happening.
No, and then they always cut their eyes at each other and giggle and give a thumbs up and say, oh, there, they got me right there.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Lebowski.
There's always a distinct pause, too, because I hear you go,
yeah,
that was a Big Lebowski reference, wasn't it? So now you're even knowing the reference.
Yeah, but who knows? Will they... Now I think they're going to start throwing in ones that are not Big Lebowski references that I'll have
could
to
be.
See. We'll just wait and see on that. The way I discovered it is one day after the show, when you were off on...
One of his leaves?
One of your leaves.
There's been so many.
I know.
More hospitalizations.
Right. You were in the hospital. And, okay. B.B. Shea came out of that room and said, man, when you said such and such, that was killer. I was like, what are you talking about? And B.B. Shea says, that's Big Lebowski. I was like, oh, do you all do that? And he's like, oh, yeah, we
all
do
the time.
All
around you. You have no idea.
I'm going to start doing it with shows that only Big and I watch. Like The Pit. I just finished The Pit.
Oh, give me 2 C's, 10 CC's of saline.
That's CBC Kim 7. Started by Pap.
That's a Pit reference. You wouldn't get it.
Ooh, burn. Suck it. You're being pitted.
You just got pitted. Great show. Great show. Remember, one of our meet and greet contestants.
One of the coolest phone calls we've ever had.
It was incredible. It was last Friday. The brother of the person we talked to on the phone for meet and greet at the ass end of the power hour.
He called from his truck. Right, he's a trucker.
His brother is on the show, The Pit, and not only is he on the show, he's like the second biggest name on there.
Yeah.
It's the second biggest star.
He plays Dr. Langdon.
Oh, yeah, believe you me, the last few episodes I paid real attention to Dr. Langdon. It's like, I know that guy's brother.
I saw, of course, there's going to be...
How many people have you told? Everybody,
everybody I know. I'm like, by the way, do y'all watch? I say,
I know the guy in The Pit. Yeah. I'm pretty much best friends with Noah Wiley.
That's right. You know what I say?
By six degrees of the Kevin Bacon.
I always say, do y'all watch The Pit? No. Oh well, if you did watch The Pit, this is. I know.
Well, I know one of the guys on there. Sort of.
First off, you should. This is great. But.
It is great. It is great. Yes. You know the one I'm watching now that Biggie recommended to me is that new John Hamm show. I like that.
I love it, too. I think it's going to be really good.
It's called Your Friends and Neighbors.
Is this where he robs from his rich friends and neighbors?
He's rich. They're incredibly wealthy, but he loses his job. And he's going through a divorce. And they're in this incredibly wealthy subdivision. It looks like of New York, you know, so like in Connecticut or somewhere. And yes, he has to make money to keep his lifestyle up, to keep up appearances. And one day he's at a party and he's just wandering through the master bedroom of the guy, you know, and he's like, I'll take this $200,000 watch. You know?
Yeah, he's never going to notice.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, do you think that was our debate on this? Like, these folks are so wealthy, you know,
they don't even lock their doors.
No, they don't even lock the door.
And he kind of says that as he goes through the houses and stuff and breaking in. He's like, you know, you get so secure because you have guards at the gate and no one can get in. That you have an alarm system, you don't set it, and you don't even bother checking when your doors are locked.
That's right. Hmm. And this is how wealthy they are. They're sitting by the pool, and one guy's doing like a charity dinner for something, and he says, can I put you down for your usual two tables, $30,000 a table? And he's like, well, I don't know, maybe, you know. So and that's how rich they are. And so the question was, if you have 10 watches all worth $150,000 to $200,000 sitting in a drawer in your closet, do you even miss one? He just took it. You know, he just grabbed it. And he said, they'll never even miss this, you know.
And like rolls of money. They just had rolls of money in a drawer. Mm-hmm. Just took a couple. Grab, yeah,
just
and,
a band, as they say.
Yes, exactly.
I'll never be that rich, so I don't think I could even. But I bet you do get to that point where you're just so.
Well.
You have so much stuff.
Oprah Winfrey said once that she found $900 in her pocket and just gave it to Gail King. She was doing laundry. She was doing. Gail and Oprah were doing laundry one time, and Oprah got her jeans out and said, "Oh my God, there's $900 in the pocket. You want it?"
Kind of an insult to Gail, frankly. I mean, she makes a living.
Well, yeah. she wasn't at the time. Well, I believe she was still just. Well,
she's always been under the wing of the Big O.
She made a living,
but I think at that point she was just Oprah's friend still.
Kind of. She did do shows.
But she did have the, and Gail King did have that. The title of publisher of the mag or editor in chief.
Oh, that's right.
The Big O magazine,
and they're best friends, of course. And Oprah found $900 and some in her in her front pocket of her jeans. Oh God,
you want this?
You want this? $900?
And that's what we do with hats we don't want.
Unbelievable! That you talk
give
about.
Give it to BB
Shea. That's what happened yesterday. Here's another. This comes from that show that Biggie and I watch. Your Friends and Neighbors. His name. John Hamm's character's name is Andrew Cooper. Everybody calls him Coop. Mm. And I'm convinced, we just hired a guy here whose last name is Cooper. I haven't even met him yet. We hired him like 3 days ago. And I'm convinced that if you have the first name Cooper or the last name Cooper, you're just going to be Coop. I feel like that is going to be a
thing. It's an easy one. It's an easy one to nick.
Yeah. Oh, it is your nick. If you're named Cooper in any way, you're going to be Coop.
Now, there's a good chance you will meet this new person today. In your big meeting. Now, this is the meeting where you normally two-hump grumpet.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot down every idea
and
basically show your true colors.
Correct.
You grouse when everyone is around you is happy.
That's yes. Right. Now, will you put on a fake side of you today because somebody new is in there and say, "Hey, Chris Kelly, what's up? Can I call you Coop?"
a facade, if you will.
Debating.
Yes.
Do I go facade or big freeze?
Make him come to you.
Yeah, sometimes I do that. What you do?
Coming forward and kiss the ring, as they say.
Recently, I was going to go big freeze. I forget on who it was. Somebody new I had met, maybe on the pickleball court or whatever. And I was like, "I'm big freezing this guy, 100%." But he came up to me and he goes, "I just want you to know, I'm a big fan of your show. I listen all the time." So then I was like, "Oh my God,
thank you.
No, you don't.
Thank you. Really."
I was unable to big freeze him. I couldn't. I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal that said nicknames are going away, that they're dying, that people, like young people, don't use nicknames with each other anymore.
I could see that.
In fact.
What age group?
Younger. And he was saying.
They're fun.
He was saying that, like, anybody now that is born as William doesn't go by Billy. It's always William.
They don't shorten the proper name.
That's not being done anymore. Exactly. That the young people.
Okay.
James is always James. He's never going to be Jim or Jimmy. You know, according to this guy, something he's noticed. He says.
You know, my nephew is roughly your son's age, Kelly, and you know he went to school with a bunch of guys who had long proper names, and the parents call them that. Mm-hmm. But once the kids get to high school and college, then their names evolve.
Oh, I agree. But he says, and he also says that, like, if you've got somebody that's really heavy, we don't call them tiny anymore because of the, you don't want.
It's reverse fat shaming.
It's reverse fat shaming. You don't want to reverse it. And.
It's a size word.
It's a size word, and we don't use size words.
That means if I was hired today, you just have to call me Josh.
That's right.
Which would not be as fun.
Why would we call you Josh? Is that your name?
Just a nick for Joshua.
A lot of people say, "How's Josh?" I was like, "I don't know any Josh."
Josh.
It's not as fun. Of course it's not as fun. Here's the other one. If you have red hair, you're no longer called red because this, again, we don't comment.
Shaming.
It's shaming.
What do we call a young Rachel every time she comes in?
Red Rachel. I did that. I'm the one that did that.
Well, you're old school thinking. You're still old school radio.
Exactly. I called her Red Rachel as soon as she walked.
You look
at
them, you have to give them a descriptive name.
Yeah. She loves Big Macs, by the way. It's her favorite.
What?
A little something on Red Rachel.
Let me mark that down for HR.
Since you're heading up anyway.
Yeah, for first a weird moment of the day.
Here's a nickname story for you. This is kind of fun. You know, when we would go through, probably in high school, it started. You know, the teacher would take roll on the first day of class.
Right.
And they would say, you know, like, my name was Christopher, so it was always Christopher in the roll books. But nobody called me that.
Of course.
My parents always, mom always did.
Mm-hmm.
But no one calls you that.
Right.
Because it's just too cumbersome. Chris is easier.
Of course.
And so they would say, what name would you like me to call you? Mm-hmm. And so I would always say, you can just call me Chris.
Right.
Well, in college, one of the guys I went to school with, I think he majored in the same thing that I did. His name was like George or Irving or Ira or something like that. But on the first day of class, and we had like 2-3 different classes together, he would always say, call me Zonk.
Oh, really?
Zonk. Oh, yeah.
Zonk. Okay.
One of those.
It's like, come on,
dude.
I don't know.
We know Zonk.
I'm Zonk.
You can't call yourself Zonk.
But he had that kind of nickname. Somebody had given him that name, Zonk.
I don't know if it was self-given or if it was imposed upon him, as many nicknames are.
Yeah, I wonder. That's a... Who knows? But you're saying you've got to go by
Ira. I found
Ira.
It really annoying.
Yeah. That he did it every single...
Yeah. Call me Zonk.
There was a guy...
Excuse me, Zonk. Do you have an answer?
Yeah. This guy in... he was my RA, my sophomore year of college. And that the first get-together, like a mixer, he was in charge, you know. And he said, well, my name is such and such, but everybody calls me Canute. And he goes, just interesting story. You know, I'll tell you sometime, too long for another day, but everybody calls me Canute. So we all, of course, his name was Canute, and he went by Canute. So, you know, 3 months later, we're at some other mixer, and my roommate and I are standing next to him, and I said, hey, what's the story on why you're called Canute? And he goes, I don't know, everybody just called me that. And that was it. He didn't
drink.
He didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. He goes. I don't know.
Good story, bro.
I thought he's going to have some kind of great story. He didn't have one at all.
Everybody calls me Canute. It's a long story.
That's what he said. Yeah. I mean, that's literally what he said. 3 months later, I guess he couldn't. He just didn't have it at all. He's like, I don't know. Just hung it on me one day.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know.
He probably just gave himself that name.
Probably. And it was very odd.
I think I told you all this. I tried to make my initials into my name for a time when I was like in middle school. I tried to be JR, and that just didn't work.
Ooh.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
What's your last name?
I'm going to tell you my last name or my middle name. You're not guessing my passwords.
You know.
When did you become Biggie? Do you remember the moment? Was it a moment, or did it evolve?
It kind of evolved. Well, I mean, always, because my last name starts with an E. People would always be like, Biggie.
Man.
Mm-hmm. So, and then when I started dabbling in radio.
I see.
Then it was like, we're going to, you need a nickname because, of course, that's what we do.
Classic story here. We had a guy named JT. Now, Chris Dimmel know this. And JT had worked here a year. And we had the budget, so everybody got a name tag 1 year. And we were like, okay, name tags.
Brass plate
that we'd put on whenever we went out to, you know, if anybody was going to be, if the mayor was going to be there to ribbon
cut. Put on your name tag.
There's your name tag. Would say Chris Kelly or whatever. And it was golden with black writing. And so his name was JT Austin. And it said,
there were what, 50, 60 people in the building at that time?
Exactly. So everybody, like salespeople, everybody got a name tag. And so his said JT Austin, J.T. Austin. And the guy who had ordered them, I saw him give JT his name tag. And JT said, misspelled my name. That's not my name.
Which part?
And so the guy that ordered him said, oh, my God. So he looks at Austin and it looks right. He goes, no, that's right.
ST.
He said, sorry, there's a misspelling there. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, no periods in my name. It's JT. No periods.
Wow.
And the guy goes, well, we're not going to reorder for that. There's an extra charge for that. And he's like, I won't wear it if it has periods in the name. And there was a standoff right there. And they went back and forth. He goes, you will wear this to every station function, period. So JT unbuckles his name tag and drops it right in the trash bin.
What a flex.
I was going to say.
Incredible flex, and walks away and never wore the name tag ever, not even once. And today, because budgets are different, we just scrawl our name on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Stick it to our chest. That's
bring your own masking tape and Sharpie. Right.
Bring your own, and that's it.
You know, the current vice president is JD.
That's right.
Yeah. He has no periods.
That's true.
No periods.
No, it's just JD Vance.
He apologized for killing the Pope. He said, not on me.
He didn't have to do that.
He's like, I know I was the last one to meet with him. Oh, man. He seemed in great spirits when I left.
Yeah.
But
he was in failing hell. He said the Pope had a stroke, and he could not recover from the stroke and would put him in a coma.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah. So it was like a final, I guess that was
You know, he was in poor, poor health, obviously. But yeah. He did rally for Easter, as we talked about.
You know, I thought it was interesting. And Chris Kelly and I, we've seen Conclave.
Yeah.
So we know some of this already. Right. Yeah. But they actually showed yesterday, like, the ceiling of the Pope's door.
I saw that too. Yeah.
And because.
The what?
Like the above where he stays, like.
Where the body is.
Where the body is. They showed the ceiling.
And because no one is allowed to go in there except the Vatican medical examiner. It's not like no one from just like Rome or the street, you know. Right. From Italy comes in, it's got to be the Vatican medical examiner. And once he goes in, I guess that's when they announce. And they said he's coming this afternoon. We'll announce later what it was. And that's when they said, okay, it was a stroke.
That's what you and I are going to do. Like BB Shea and Chris Dim do to me. We'll do conclave
lines. Oh, perfect.
They'll have no idea. We'll just slip in a conclave line here.
Ceiling of the door.
Rescuat in pacem. That's Latin. You wouldn't even know it.
It's conclave. We just did a conclave. You had no idea. Nailed you.